it just was just so windy. It was just impossible for them to control it. It was just hot and windy. Yeah. We didn't feel like we were in danger, but we were all getting pretty restless, and we suggested that we go down to the oyster farm and get the barge. And even if we just are prepared and we're just there at the oyster shack, but then we were very nervous. We started to see a lot more flames. And so then we got on the barge, and I said, I don't know if we need to do this, but I think we would all feel better floating on the water. So we launched the boat. We also collected my neighbour, Karen. Her husband stayed on shore at that point. And then our other neighbour came down with his tinny, and they had themselves launched as well. So there was the two boats at that point in the river. So we're using the Yellow Sandbanks jetty there.
You had at that point, while you were on the barge watching from the river, did you know how safe your house would be at that point, or if it could be
No,
saved?
that was not the scary one. So it kind of calmed down. We had a beautiful sunset cruise and thought, that's okay, it's blowing away. It's more on the beach side. We'll go back to shore. We're okay. So we went back to shore. We went back to the house, and there was just a change in light. I think it was that triggered me that it had changed, that the wind had changed, the light had changed, and I looked out the window, and my son came up to me. He said, "Something's happening." And Ian got a call at that time. And I don't want to be held account for anything that I say, but I think it was a fiery saying, "There's nothing we can do. It's created its own kind of weather now. You got to get out. We can't fight this." And so we evacuated to the boat again. Most of us drove our cars to the farm. It's only 400 metres. Ian got the sprinklers going again, so he did the sprinklers the first time as well, and then he restarted the sprinklers on our house. We just got four, one on each corner. We launched again. It was terrifying. We were just watching it, thinking that it's all gone. You could see flames in front of our house, behind our house, around our house, around our sand shack structure. We're building visitor accommodation at the moment. That had just been framed. We just had all the electrics done. The roof had just been put on. My son's an angel. He just kept pulling my head and saying, "We're not looking at that," and telling me just silly stories. And said, "It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine." So at that point, we had the two boats back in the water again. So we had four on the small tinny, and I think it was 11 on our boat. And I just said to Anne, "Look, this isn't good for our mental health to stand here and float here and watch our worlds just blow up. Let's go." And I think everyone at that point realized the smoke was just going to get bad too. So we went to Swanwick and disembarked Anne and Don, and rang whoever we could ring, but nobody was answering. It was 1:30 in the morning, to pick them up and get them into Coles Bay. Eventually Anne got hold of a lovely man who picked them up. So the West Australians and Anne and Don went to Coles Bay. And then we went back up the stream. Ian was just conscious that if it turned, he needed to be close to that jetty and get anyone else that he needed to get, fireys or anyone.
By the morning, you're wondering what was happening to your business and to the house.
Yeah, we went back to our house. We've been there ever since. We've had no power, but we've got a generator. The only thing we're lacking is hot water. So we're very gracious that one of the ladies that was evacuated, the second evacuation, we picked up another lady. That's right. The police escorted her down onto the barge. And she graciously has given us her keys to her shack when she was able to go back to her home. So we've got a lovely place to just come and have breakfast now and showers.
Do you consider yourself one of the lucky ones then, Cassie?
Oh, it's a miracle, Larissa, that we didn't lose anything. We've lost our fifth-wheeler caravan that was our overflow accommodation for workers. And Anne and Don lost their fifth-wheeler caravan. That was ridiculous. I know it is, but they still work on the farm at their age, and they spend the week in that van and then go home on the weekends to Coles Bay. So that's gone, and the other caravan, but that's nothing. We are so lucky.
the smoke and the ash and all of that. Will that affect any of the oysters growing in the water?
I think it's too far upstream. So most of our stock is closer to River and Rocks and the River Mouth and then Great Oyster Bay. Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think we'll have smoked oysters.
A new market potentially.
I had quite a lot of stock that Helena had shucked on Thursday that needed a home. So we rang a couple of restaurants in Swansea and organised them to go out on Saturday, and Ian got a police escort front and back to do the oyster delivery through and met the chefs on the other side of the roadblock and did the handover.
Dolphin Sands seems to have, in the last few years, a lot of fires. It's a very bushfire-prone region. Why do you think that's been the case for someone who's lived there for a long time?
There's regulations on clearing that people potentially just are worried that if I do too much, I'll get in trouble. So there's fuel there. There's just too much fuel. And it's just sand. So any moisture we ever get just dissipates. It just is soaked up through the sand and we don't have any retained moisture in any of our vegetation. So once it starts, it's just away.
What do you think are the lessons from this fire then, with regard to potential changes to policies around clearing?
I don't want to comment yet. It's too early, but we definitely needed our sprinkler system. So I'd suggest anyone can get what they can get up and running for this season in any place, in any state.
And you think that your sprinkler system helped to save your house and your business?
We didn't have any at the farm itself, at the farm sheds, but we always knew where a fire would come to our property, and that's the corner that we put the sprinklers on. And you can see it obviously melted the hose that we had for the tank for that at some point. So it didn't keep sprinkling, but it dampened enough that there is a grass arc of green where that sprinkler range went. So it's had to have helped. There was a massive vigilia tree just behind where the sprinkler was that has no damage at all.
Are you still able to process your oysters that need processing?
Yes, Ian's working today. He went out on Saturday and returned stock that he had too. And, yeah, the show keeps going for him, and I think that's his therapy. So, yeah, he picked up oysters Saturday to do a little bit today. We'll definitely be supplying wholesalers and restaurants this week. But we'll be keeping that farm gate closed to the public maybe for a couple of weeks. I'm not ready.